Hi there. This is Michael Ann Conley. Welcome back to Habits into Health. If there is a gap between your look good on the outside and your feel bad on the inside, then this show is definitely for you. And if covering up how you feel on the inside with unhealthy habits or even addictions sounds familiar, well, then Habits into Health is also for you. And if you hurt because someone you love engages in an unhealthy habit or addiction, this show is also for you. Because this show is all about helping you stop the heartbreak, start feeling just as powerful on the inside as you look on the outside, so that you can step into the life of your dreams. Lately, we've been talking about seasonal change, and this week I have a special guest. Earlier today, I talked with health coach Sabrina Grossman, and she's going to share what she learned about the addictive nature of many of the things we eat. She's got some great perspective that can help motivate you to get out of the cycle. Before we get to the interview, though, in each episode, we experience one of the main themes for Habits into Health, and that is letting your body lead so your mind doesn't have to. This helps you slow down and take a break from the stress of the day by getting attuned to your body, which helps your mind focus more effectively. Let's start today, as always, with the reminder that there's no right way or wrong way to participate. I offer some suggestions and some guidance, and you experience what you experience. And you will have a different experience than everyone else doing this. The real goal is to learn how to influence your behavior and to practice modifying your behavior in one way or another. Let's start noticing on one level, which I call where. That's geography. Notice in this moment a physical place in you that is calling for your attention. It's sending signals cell to cell throughout your system. For example, maybe your stomach is growling. Maybe your toes are fidgety. Maybe your jaw is tight. Or you feel an ache around your eyes. Perhaps it's something as simple as just a place that is itchy. Whatever it is you notice, just focus first on where. This is a practice in being attuned in a more deliberate way. Because a lot of times during the day we might say, oh, my neck hurts, or oh, I got a little bit of headache. And so we're referring to where, but we don't necessarily go there. We see the where as being somehow separate from who we are. Oh, it's my hand that hurts, or it's my neck that hurts. Well, who's the my? Where's the my? It's wherever you are. So notice where. If your stomach is growling, you don't have to go into interpreting what it means. Just allow yourself to be there. You can listen to it growling. You can feel it growling. You might even put your hand on your belly and feel it literally. Or if your toes are fidgety, you know, it's kind of an inclination to stop. Once you, oh, my toes are fidgety, I better stop. Don't go there. Let yourself be with your fidgety toes. Just wiggle them, fidget them. Notice how this movement travels through your feet and up your legs. And this would be true about anything else that's fidgety. If you're fidgety in your fingers, or your eyes are moving around really fast, or looking around, just be with this physical part of you. And if your jaw is tight, maybe you can be attentive to your throat, or around your teeth, or how your tongue is in your mouth. Maybe you could tighten your lips a little bit and then untighten them. Go up the hill a little bit, go down the hill a little bit. It might have an effect, it might not, but it would be attending to where you are. And in my last example, which was, you know, if you're achy around your eyes, can you just let yourself be present with it without judging? Maybe you can place your hand there. Feel the warmth of your hand or the coolness of your hand. The first step to making any changes is being attentive to what's actually happening, rather than leaping to labeling it, rather than defining it and deciding or trying to decide or figure out where it's coming from, but allowing yourself to just be with. What's it like to just be with? Now, you might notice that whatever you're feeling where changes as you notice it. That's okay too. Maybe another part of your geography is calling for your attention right now. That's just fine. Now we're going to make a shift, so take a rest from whatever you're doing. And as best as you can, be aware of what happens when you do this. Where do you experience the invitation to take a rest? Does it travel? Maybe your toes are still fidgety, but your attention is pulling away from that. Maybe your jaw is still tense. What happens when you take a rest from being attentive to this? And then what happens when you take a rest from not being as fidgety in your toes or twiddling in your thumbs? It may be that something will change in the central location where you've been attending to, or it could be that nothing changes. It could be that you experience something else. What's it like to just allow yourself to be attentive? This is a form of mastery. And if you didn't experience yourself doing anything or feeling anything, that's okay. Very often it takes a while of doing these exercises to recognize the subtle levels of behavior that are going on and that are almost invisible unless you know what you're looking for. Now let's shift gears. It's always a good time to say thanks for listening. My name is Michael Ann Conley, and as a holistic therapist and addiction specialist for almost 30 years, I've been helping people just like you transform unhealthy habits and addictions into healthy behaviors that create new possibilities for your life. I invite you to come on over to habitsandhealth.com and explore my other podcasts and articles and blog. And if you are ready to take a new approach to your problem habit or addiction, you can ask for a free self-assessment questionnaire on the website. And you can stay tuned for more programs and information coming up in the future. From time to time, I send out a newsletter, and I'll be in touch. Now on to our topic. The last few episodes, we've been talking about self-care during seasonal changes. And that's, primarily because if you're dealing with an unhealthy habit or addiction, your immune system is just more vulnerable, particularly during times of change. So today, I have a very special guest. I met Sabrina Grossman last year, and I learned that she's spent her whole life exploring the effect of what we eat and drink. So we talked earlier today about what she's learned about foods that aren't really food at all. So I hope you enjoy this conversation as much as I did.
Hello, Sabrina. I'm so glad that we're talking today. Let's start by having you tell us a little bit about your background and how you got so passionate about food.
All right, Michael Ann, well, hello and thank you. And the reason that I'm so passionate about health is it started in childhood. And that's where I got that very clearly, that message that food can be a poison. When I poisoned myself as a child on the insecticide DDT, which looks a lot like Coke when it's stored in a Coke bottle.
Wow.
Of what I thought, was Coke, and I drank it when I was about 4, and I was actually in a coma and all sorts of things. So I was very lucky, but I was actually detoxing my whole childhood. I had terrible headaches from, the impact, the neurological impact that had on me. So, once I got to be an adult, I've just been a nutrition geek for a long time. Mm-hmm. And then a few years ago, I decided to kind of make it official, share what I know. And so I became certified as a holistic health coach through the Institute for Integrative Nutrition.
So you're going to be doing a teleseminar that is part of your Slimmer by Summer program, and we'll mm-hmm. be talking about that later, but can we talk first about, well, let's say, three things that you think that are really important for my listeners to know about food? And
yeah.
one of those that you told me about yesterday when we were both at an event yesterday and you spoke, and you talked
right.
about this nasty obstacle. So can you say something about the nasty obstacle around food?
Sure. I would be happy to. I try to as often as I can because it's really important that people know. And what it is how and why the multinational corporate food industry is deceiving us. And it's on a global scale now because they're not bound by any national boundaries. And, frankly, we're exporting the standard American diet, which is also now known as the SAD diet. And I think that's interesting that it turned out to be SAD because there's such a connection between food and mood. And
mm-hmm.
when you're struggling with, issues around control, addiction, I know it's such a loaded word. There's no judgment for me in it. It's a word that everybody understands. Unfortunately, it can have some moral weight to it, and it's really not about any sort of judgment. It's about, this is the response from the body to
mm-hmm.
a substance that's going in.
You've talked about how people blame themselves for being hooked on certain, well, I call them edible substances. I don't even want to call them food.
That's great. I agree with you. I don't call it food either anymore. I used to, because we're so trained and conditioned from childhood by the advertising of the food industry to accept whatever they produce as food.
Mm-hmm.
But, we trust them. I think a lot of people still do trust them like you would your grandmother's cooking. And
mm-hmm.
the fact is, our grandmothers wouldn't deliberately poison us, My grandmother actually stored that DDT in the Coke bottle and hidden it away thinking we wouldn't see it. So, she unwittingly poisoned me. But most mm-hmm. grandmothers would not knowingly poison their families with their apple pie. But the truth is, Mrs. Smith's apple pie has a lot of toxic ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically excitotoxins, they're called.
Mm-hmm. Well, say something more about excitotoxins.
Yeah, that's a second point I'd really like to make is that that our food's just loaded with that sort of thing now. And excitotoxins are really, it's about having a neurotransmitter that's needed, necessary thing, but it's so out of balance, basically, that it literally causes our neurons to become so agitated that they literally just kind of wear themselves out. They excite themselves to death. They literally do die
mm-hmm.
not long after being exposed to large doses of these substances. And the thing is, they not only cause cell death of neurons, but they also lower serotonin levels, which, having low serotonin levels exacerbates disorders like depression. So it's,
mm-hmm.
it's really kind of a vicious cycle.
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah, I think the thing that concerns me about a lot of this is that people will feel depressed, say,
right.
And it's so often the first place that they will go to manage their depression. A lot of times they make it worse, but they'll go to alcohol to try to manage their depression, which then creates more depression because alcohol is a depressant. But the other place that they'll go is to psychiatry, and they end up being put on pharmaceutical medication to deal with something that really may have a nutritional basis to it.
Right. And let's not forget, too, comfort foods. You know, they also, that's the easiest, fastest, usually, besides alcohol, if it's in the house. Everybody's usually got food in the house. And often, you know, even if they're not a drinker, but you're still going to get the same kinds of unhealthy brain stimulation from these comfort foods that have excitotoxins in them. And this could just keep going around and around because, say, you have a depression over some habit that you're struggling with, some issue or something, and you might also be carrying a little extra weight, and then you do the comfort food, but they have these excitotoxins in them which contribute to you feeling depressed, which means then you're more likely to resort to that habit that you have of the drink or grabbing a cigarette or. And then you mm-hmm. feel even more depressed because you feel less in control, and it just keeps going like a little vicious cycle.
And people don't realize what the actual source of the problem is. And so when they try to fix it, adding on other things, it really doesn't help because they're not getting to what's really going on in the beginning.
Right. A lot of what's going on is that you have this nasty one-two punch. We have these unmet cravings for real nutrition, and then you add that to the overstimulated brain cells, and it's really pretty hard not to feel depressed because our bodies, you know, I love your approach. It's so, to me, appealing because it's so real. That's where we live, in our bodies. And the fact that the food industry has become this megalithic, consuming, all-consuming for profit, you know, it's driven seemingly now entirely by profit, and keeping like a dependable repeat business, you know, dependable clientele, that they have put these chemicals, besides excitotoxins, there are so many chemicals now added to food that seem to guarantee addiction. And they, you know, they create those big three, I call them, you know, the sweet, salty, and fatty taste. We all crave. And the craving is, really, craving kind of has a negative connotation, but the truth is we are irresistibly drawn to those flavors, and it's a good thing, actually, because it indicates the presence of nutrition that the body needs. The problem is the food industry knows that biological fact, and they kind of use chemicals that mimic those tastes, or they over-concentrate, for instance, like sugar, or they over-concentrate salt. And so it's providing the taste buds with the message that there should be nutrition here, but it's not really backed up with real nutrition. And then, in addition, there are all these toxins coming in that have to be processed. So you have a body that's less able to deal with all the garbage that's coming in. It's actually malnourished. And so it's just a recipe for disaster. And most people still think that what's on a label is trustworthy. And the truth is, it's really not. Because not only are they making these claims that are pretty dubious, especially around low-fat and, you know, diet foods, low-fat, non-fat, all these artificially, unnaturally created foods, but not only are these claims not true, but they are actually hiding things. For instance, MSG goes by like about 17 different names.
So people don't even know that they're consuming MSG.
Right, because they know that MSG is bad now. That's gotten out. The food industry now knows it's not something that consumers are looking for or will welcome in their food. So they just change the name.
Wow.
You know, so there's a lot of evidence that this is not a benign system anymore. And,
right.
you know, tell you the truth, I really don't believe that they started out with that intention to turn into the kind of dubious, you know, suppliers that they've become. Mm-hmm. But actually, when I was in training, we had some lectures on the politics of food, and we don't want to get too far away from it, but I just want, this makes sense, because people sometimes say, I just can't believe that, you know, they would be so deceptive, but here's the thing, it's driven by just an out-of-control, out-of-balance process, because mm-hmm. when Wall Street, and remember, the greed is good kind of era, mm-hmm. and Wall Street decided that companies should go from having to make a profit only once a year, the annual report, to four times a year, the quarterly report, right? Mm-hmm. That's when this all started to spiral out of control, and stock prices are rising and falling, and it became all about the business end of the business of food. And here we are, you know, 30 or so years later, really reaping a horrible harvest of lifestyle diseases. And people are starting to wake up, but they are not, it's not in their vested interest for us to be awake.
When I first became interested in health, it was through nutrition. And I really had to look at what the politics of food was then. And that also, the politics of food around poverty. It, here in the U.S., I don't know what it may be like in other parts of the world. Many of my listeners are in other parts of the world. But here in the U.S., what started to happen was that the poorer neighborhoods were the very places where most of the unhealthy food was being sold. And,
right.
of course, a lot of it, we're calling it food, but a lot of these substances actually create obesity. And
yes.
they're debilitating, and because they're debilitating to brain functioning, then you have kids going into school, they're under-eating in the first place, then they're malnourished because the substances that they're eating are not nutritious. So then they under-function in school, which then leads to an endless cycle around poverty and crime and a number of other things that
right.
you wouldn't on the surface think of as being associated with food and nutrition, but that they are.
Right.
So let's we're going to take a moment here for a minute, Sabrina. I want to let everybody know that you're listening to Habits into Health, and this is Michael Ann Conley. I'm your host, and I'm talking with Sabrina Grossman today. She is a health coach, and the focus of her attention is on health and nutrition. She has a teleseminar that she's going to be doing for free next week. We'll be talking more about that later. If you want to know more about Habits into Health, come to habitsintohealth.com. You can make comments on the website. You can also get a free self-assessment questionnaire if you're concerned that habit may have you in a script. Okay, Sabrina.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned your listeners abroad, because I was just reading about a professor at the University of Melbourne in Australia, and he was saying that, you know, it's common for people to think that only people in wealthier countries are being affected by these so-called lifestyle diseases. But, you know, in fact, there's a whole new epidemic in the lower to middle-income countries as well because mm-hmm. of the exporting and acceptance for this way of eating. But, yes, no, you know, well, as you said about the crime and other things, that aren't connections aren't really made that easily between what you're eating and, say, having a drinking problem or, you know, doing drugs. But the truth is food is elemental, primal, one of your top three needs, food, water, and air. That's where we start from. And food has an incredible impact on us because so much of, well, gosh, our immune system, and there's so many neurons in our digestive system, you know, in our gut, literally.
Mm-hmm.
Everything hits the stomach, and that's sort of like the first place it starts to all happen,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there have been, I can't cite exact resources right now because I don't have them right in front of me, but there have been several studies in Britain. There's a fellow here in the States named Bill Walsh who started working with nutrition in prisons, and there's a researcher named Schoenthaler who did a whole piece on nutrition in the New York City school system. And what these studies show universally is when you repair the food system, when people eat healthy food, behavior problems in the schools and the prisons go down, and, you know, there's a reduction in what we would call it mental illness diagnoses or symptoms, and violence decreases. You know, they would do it in school lunch programs, and the results were absolutely phenomenal. But it has to be healthy foods and not substances that have been adulterated with chemicals, or like you said, the word mimic, that mimic the taste that our body craves because our body wants to have the nutrition. And if your body is craving the taste but not giving, you're not giving it the nutrition, then it's just going to keep craving, and then you have weight issues that just follow from that.
Right.
Getting back to, you know, we've got all, you know, there's this sort of political kind of process, but this affects people on a personal level. So let's talk about the third point that you and I discussed you bringing up today, which is you have developed a balanced, holistic program that helps people lose weight and deal with these issues around craving and willpower. Could you say a little bit about the program, and then also tell us about the free teleseminar that you're going to be doing later today.
Okay, sure. I'd be delighted to. You know, I focused, when I first got out of school, there was so much. I thought I would focus on helping people with cancer or diabetes. There's just such a huge need right out there right now. But I eventually settled on weight loss because, to me, it's something that, and especially with women, for two reasons I chose this, and one is because it's something that women are interested in, but it's also a way to impact the real decision makers around food. And it's traditionally been that way, and it's still that way, that especially in families, women tend, we are the ones who make the decisions around care and feeding of the family. So I feel so important for women to be aware of what's happening, because often they're not. And as soon as a woman understands what's going on in this chemical industrial management of food that we have now, she is a very proactive advocate for the health of her family. No one wants to, you know, deliberately poison their children any more than my grandmother wanted to. You know, it was just, it's shocking to women when they realize what's going on. So for me, it's a great way to connect through that desire to lose a few pounds, to help women understand that fat storage, we all know that it's excess calories get stored in fat, as fat. But really, I think the majority of what's driving the obesity rate, and, you know, a lot of people have talked about this, it's not a secret, that, you know, it's toxin storage as well. You know, our bodies are just so overwhelmed taking out the garbage that it starts to sweep some under the rug, so to speak, and it gets stored in fat. So, yeah, the double whammy, we're taking in way too many calories, you know, and all the sugar, this really easily available sugar that's added to the food. And then the toxins also coming in at the same time. The body just can't cope, so it's creating fat cells as fast as it can to store, you know, these undesirables, basically. It's not desirable for the body to have that much excess energy in the form of these loose calories and, you know, and then also these substances coming in that were never, our bodies were never designed and have not seen these before. We now have the ability to manipulate them in ways that are just really foreign to our bodies. So I think losing weight is about the fastest way to have a positive impact on your health. And, mm-hmm. of course, you know, good health impacts everything else in your life, your mood, your energy level, relationships. It's just a really win-win situation.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of interesting as I'm listening to you talk about how personal this is for people. When I was a young woman, the statement that personal is political and mm-hmm. the political is personal was really uh-huh. said a lot. And as I'm thinking about this, you know, yeah, it's like really personal. Get that weight off of you personally. But also you're saying when women do this, it also affects the health of their children and their other family members and can help them lose weight. And then it becomes a political statement, too, even whether you're trying to do it or not, by the kind of food that you choose to buy.
Well, exactly, right? Because who's choosing the food for children? It's mm-hmm. their parents. So the potential to affect a lot of lives is by something like a weight mm-hmm. loss program. Today, choosing what to eat has maybe as much impact or more than choosing who to vote for. Like you said, about the personal. We all
right.
need to take responsibility for the fact that there are forces that are supposed to be benign and even protective of our health that are actually just doing the opposite.
Right.
So we have to educate
right.
ourselves, and that's what my program is. You know, group coaching, and we get on the phone together once a week
uh-huh.
for 12 weeks. And I'm calling it Slimmer by Summer because summer is coming fast, but it's a three-month program.
Summer is coming fast for my listeners in the Northern Hemisphere, but in the Southern Hemisphere,
right.
they're heading toward fall. Is this plan still good
true.
For those folks that are heading into winter?
Oh, yes, you know, because you have to absolutely honor the seasonal changes in your body. But whether you're revving up for a warmer, higher light time of the year or whether this time of year is going to be a sort of slowing things down towards a more, almost like a more of a hibernation type, because
mm-hmm.
the body does have cycles.
Right.
And I think what it does is, because I use the six key waves, I call them pathways, to get down off the plateau, because
mm-hmm.
a lot of people are stuck with weight that they've had for a long time, and either they were losing and then they stopped, or they just, they never really lost it. But I kind of, for me, the metaphor is you're like stuck up on that plateau there and find a way to start getting back down. And so what it really doesn't matter, because whatever you do that helps to get the weight off is going to mean that your body goes into the next season so much healthier than where it is right now. And to me, you need all six. And I've actually reorganized from the last time I did the program, because I used to have detoxification as my number one first step. And, you know, the truth is, like we were talking about, with detoxing the body, it's really, if you're still bringing in the garbage, you know, while you're taking garbage
mm-hmm.
out, you're never gonna get rid of it all. So,
right.
And the truth is, our bodies, our livers are overwhelmed. Most people should be on some sort of liver support, whether
mm-hmm.
it's through natural foods or supplements. But most people don't realize how important their livers are to their health.
So you're going to be talking about that during your telesummit.
Oh, absolutely.
Series. What
absolutely.
About you? So, but you have this free teleseminar coming up that
mm-hmm.
people can listen to. Could you tell us where people can go to listen to that teleseminar?
Sure. Well, in that I'm going to describe the six key pathways, you know, and so if you go to my website, which is Off the Plateau, so you just go to www.offtheplateau.com/free, that will take you to the free call page, and you can register to be on the call there. Or actually, you know, you can just actually, you don't even really have to register. The number to call in will be there, and you just show up on the date, and the dates will be on the page. And listen in to, you know, food is the way we'll start out, because food is number one to me now. Because food has become such an obstacle course, but it really, you know, it makes everything we do possible, and it's such a great joy in life, and it's actually become a source of stress for a lot of people. And that's really heartbreaking to me, because it becomes another source of a place for things like shame and really things that should not be attached to nurturing and nourishing your body.
Right. So you said something about the call. So
it's going to happen on April 29th. We'll cover all six: food, detox, movement, which is what I call exercise. Actually, because it's much more than exercise.
Right.
We also will deal with sleep, hormones, and breath. All six of those, I think, are really key ways to begin to rebalance the weight. But food is really critical right at this point.
So, Sabrina, this has been great. I just really have enjoyed talking with you today.
Well, thank you. I'm so grateful that you invited me. I think that it's just wonderful what you're doing, and I was just very happy to have the opportunity to share how I feel about this with everyone.
Thank you very much.
You're so welcome.
I hope you enjoyed that interview with Sabrina Grossman. You can find the link to her free teleseminar, which is on Monday, April the 29th, 2013, at offtheplateau.com/free. That's off, O-F-F, the, T-H-E, plateau, that's P-L-A-T-E-A-U.com, and then do /free, F-R-E-E. And I hope you join me next time as we continue the discussion about how you can stop feeling out of control over habits and addictions that have gotten the better of you and they're just blocking your ability to create the life of your dreams. This show exists to offer support, especially if trying to deal with it on your own hasn't given you the results you want. You're not to blame for the past, and the best way to take responsibility for the future is to start small and be kind to yourself along the way. It's time for me to sign off. This is Michael Ann Conley, and you've been listening to Habits into Health. I support you in turning your old habits around into healthy possibilities for your future. Thanks for joining me.